Bart Horvitz.
That's right, my buddy Bart. He is a busy, busy guy. We've been quoting him a lot already today, but let's get you the actual numbers. It's time for the Big Bart Blue Jay Blast after the Jays get a walk-off win. Well, almost a walk-off win.
Villanova. About as close as it
comes. Villanova did have 0.2 seconds left. Which, by the way, I'm glad that shot didn't even come close, because I don't think it's physically possible to get off a shot in 0.2 seconds.
It's not. I think that's the cutoff where you have to tip it. I thought 0.3, I mean, catching.
Thankfully, he didn't even come close. But either way, Creighton gets the win. They are now up on the 2-seed line right now with Arizona, North Carolina, and Marquette. If the Jays could get a win on Thursday, and they would play either Providence or Georgetown, essentially they could be playing Marquette for a 2-seed in the NCAA tournament.
They could. But do we know that Marquette will be there? Again, we talked about earlier, Kolek play?
I don't think he will, personally.
And you know Nova, they're going to beat DePaul. That's a given.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Put in Sharpie.
You don't have to apologize.
Nova is going
to
beat DePaul.
You don't have to apologize. Unless Porter Moser shows up in. Instantly.
He's the Messiah.
And even then, he's going to have to show up with some players because they're going to need that.
He's going to pull off a Patrick Ewing from a few years ago. DePaul's going to go on a miracle run.
That would be the miracle of all
miracles.
But
Nova is going to be playing for
their lives.
Because right now, I don't think they're in.
No, Bart's got them his last four in, but I don't see it.
So I think
that's a lot of losses.
That's going to be a desperate team.
Yes.
And again, if Marquette is not at full strength, I think that gives them a good shot. Now, I'm not saying they will beat Marquette, but I'm saying that's a tough matchup.
Right. If Marquette doesn't get there, does Creighton get that? Nope. Get a 2-seed by default. I think this, if Creighton makes it to Saturday, they are definitely a 2-seed.
Yes.
If Creighton makes it to Saturday, don't have to win it, but if they make it to Saturday, because that'll
be... If the bracket's chalk, they'd play UConn, and a loss to UConn is not going to hurt your seeding line.
Because that is, let's see, I got to look, Providence, I think Providence is still in the 60s right now, so I don't think it would be a quad one win.
Probably not
a neutral
at this point.
Site.
No. Providence is
64th in the net. So it's a quad two game for a neutral site.
If they get Providence, that won't be an easy game still.
No.
Obviously, Providence won in overtime at the Amp.
Yep.
And they made it hard for Creighton here in Omaha, as
they
always do.
Yes, they did.
And Devin Carter, it's a great player.
Could be player of the year. We'll find out on Wednesday. Now comparing resumes. So I just took four other teams who are in and around Creighton's spot right now on Bart Torvik, comparing to Creighton. Net ranking, road record, non-conference strength of schedule, and their record against Q1, Q2 competition. So the other four teams I'm looking at are North Carolina, Illinois, Duke, and Iowa State. Of those teams right now, North Carolina's listed as a 2-seed. Illinois, Duke, and Iowa State are 3-seeds. Now Creighton's net trails only... Well, they trail North Carolina, who's 7. Iowa State is 9. Duke is 10. But it's ahead of Illinois, who's 15. In terms of road record, amongst those five teams, Creighton has as many road wins as North Carolina. North Carolina is 8-2 on the road. Creighton is 8-5. These are the most road wins for a Creighton team since 2012, when they were still in the Valley. Non-conference.
And that's saying something, given the competitiveness of the Big East this year.
Now, here are the two metrics. And again, I'm only using these four, but here are the two metrics right now where Creighton really has an advantage. Non-conference strength of schedule.
That Iowa State number. Wow.
Iowa State's 328.
Now, they're a good team, but that hurts.
Yes, but that was what Brad Brownell at Clemson was complaining about a couple of weeks ago. The head coach at Clemson, mm-hmm, saying that the Big 12 was basically gaming the system by playing bad non-conference teams and just blowing them out. Because in the net, there is still margin of victory baked in.
There is.
And if you're beating teams by 35, 40 points, You're going to get credit for that. That's what teams like Iowa State did. But of these five teams that I have listed, only North Carolina has a better non-conference strength of schedule. They're 22nd, Creighton's 54, Duke is 111, Illinois is 142, Iowa State's 328. Then the last category, and this is where Creighton's been good all season, Q1, Q2 victories, Creighton 14-8, most wins out of this group. North Carolina's got 13, Iowa State's got 13, Illinois's got 11, Duke's got 11. So just looking at this right now, you can understand why Bart Torvik already has him as a two seed.
Yes.
I still think there's a little work to do.
There might be a case for North Carolina as a one seed, as that last one. And I think it's going to come down to them in Tennessee.
It could.
They just won the ACC outright, and Tennessee won the SEC, but they slipped up at home against Kentucky.
Yep.
So again, how much do conference tournaments, are they going to play into this kind of scenario?
It might. It depends. Here's your combined Q1, Q2 wins. Creighton fourth most in the country, only trailing Purdue, UConn, and Houston. And they're ahead of Arizona, who's a one seed right now, North Carolina, who we just mentioned, Tennessee, Iowa State, Kansas, and Marquette. So that's an area where Creighton's been really solid this year. And then a quick look at the tournament bracket. Yes, Jays will play in the third game of the day on quarterfinal Thursday against either Providence or Georgetown. Obviously, for resume, you're hoping it's Providence. Not that it'll give you a huge boost. And if it's Georgetown, well, you better win it.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. You better win it. That'll be a fun game on Wednesday night. Providence and Georgetown. Cooley versus his former school, part three.
After Providence fans took over in Georgetown, which was supposed to be a road game, but...
And they'll take over here, too.
Yeah, they'll have good support.
They'll have a lot of support.
I think that can be the tricky thing with conference tournaments, though, because you might think you'll end up with another quad one or quad two chance, and there's an upset, and you end up playing a lower-seeded team that you weren't expecting to play.
Yeah.
Like, God forbid DePaul goes on a magical run and meets Creighton in the semifinals. Beating DePaul is more likely to hurt their net than
yes,
it is to help.
It actually is.
And that's one of the issues with the net. That's not their problem. Not their fault that is the team that somehow got to the semifinals. But that's who you have to beat.
Well,
to get
that's
to the
where
finals.
You hope that the idea of this bracket's pretty much done. It just needs a little repolishing at that point. Because
you want chalk? Yeah. You want chalk for this? For the sake of helping the resume.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for just sheer entertainment value. Now, if you're just a fan, it's like, I don't care. I'll play the worst team possible. Just give me wins. Get us to Saturday so we can
I just
have
want a trophy.
Shot. Well, it is. It is a trophy dash this year if you're Creighton, Marquette, UConn, because your place in the tournament's pretty solid. Everybody else, even Seton Hall, still playing.
I think Seton Hall is on the right side.
They are, but, you know, they lose to St. John's. Who knows? St. John's.
That St. John's could be the sleeper just because of you were there not too long ago. The atmosphere looked like it was pretty good.
It was.
And it probably hasn't been like that for a while.
Nope.
And I think that factors.
That'll be a fun game
and
on
Thursday. If they beat Seton Hall and get UConn, that might be the loudest game of the whole weekend, because I know UConn fans travel for that tournament.
UConn fans travel very well
and
for that tournament.
And if you mix that in with St. John's, and the neutrals are going to be pulling for St. John's.
Yes.
So that's an added layer of what will already feel like a home crowd.
I agree.
So I think that's why I've seen a lot of people kind of see them as maybe a sleeper to make it in. Again, lots to play for. But I think UConn has a lot to play for, too. They want to win the conference tournament title.
Well,
they haven't done that.
They haven't, and... They still have a shot at number one overall seed.
They do. But I think what has hurt them is their non-conference. Compared to Houston and Purdue.
Yeah.
Purdue's been put above them. While I think UConn is a better team, Purdue's non-conference record is incredible.
Yeah,
and the teams they beat along the way, it's tough to compare.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you got a good point there. That's Matt Faster. I'm John Bishop. Coming up next, Mitch Sherman joins us from The Athletic. We'll talk about his perspective on Nebraska ball. Also, he had a chance to talk to Tony White last week, the Nebraska defensive coordinator. So, yes, a little football for you as well today. even though Connor's declared that football is dead.
For this month.
For this month, anyway. 1620 The Zone.